Today's devotion is titled, Jesus Said, It Is Finished. We read in John 19 verse 30 that these three words, It is finished, were the final words that Jesus spoke on the cross, just before he died. These three words did have great significance for the whole world. From that point on, nothing would be the same in the way mankind would approach and worship God. Most important, these three words were to give freedom to millions of folk worldwide. On that cross, Jesus accomplished two great battles. First, he paid the ultimate price for the sins of mankind. And second, he overcame the power of death. It would mean a new beginning and freedom for millions of folk worldwide. For the nation of Israel, this was a pivotal point for them. Up to this point, for every sin committed, each had to bring either a bird, a lamb, or a calf to the temple and have it slaughtered and be offered on an altar of sacrifice to pay for their sins. But now what Jesus did is recorded in Hebrews 9:24-27. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one he entered in heaven himself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest entered the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all, at the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Then in the next chapter, Hebrews 10:14, the apostle says, For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Easter is that very special time when we stop to remember and celebrate what took place on Calvary's Hill outside the walls of Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. The hymn writer has penned these beautiful, poignant words. There is a green hill far away, outside a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. God sent his son Jesus into the world to show by example the type of life we as a Christian should live. I'm reminded on one occasion at my place of work when the wife of a colleague of mine had just had a baby. They together went to see the church vicar to ask if he would christen the baby. The vicar began to explain to my colleague and his wife the responsibility they had to their child following the christening. He graciously explained to them they would need to live and follow the Christian life as laid down in the Bible. My colleague, the next day at work, who had little or no understanding of the Christian faith, asked me, how can I live to this standard, to live my life as a Christian? This was my opportunity to share with my colleague how we can live the life of a Christian. From the outset, I explained that it is impossible to live up to the standard God expects of us. He is eternal, he is perfect, we have to be led and helped by him. I was then able to tell him that when we become a Christian, a child of God, His Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And He helps us to live a life that God expects of us. And in so doing, be able to show by example to the child how we should live. Each one of us are born into a sin-stricken world. Each one of us are born without the nature God intends each one of us to attain. We need God to intervene in our life in order for us to begin that new life as a follower of Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." We have to ask Jesus to cleanse us and invite Him into our life so that He can help us live the life as a Christian. The hymn writer's words are so true, which bears repeating. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. One other songwriter wrote, "He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay." We need to thank God for what He did on the cross. Then each one of us can enjoy the freedom of knowing our sins were paid for. We then can know the assurance that death has been dealt with. All we need to do is to ask Jesus for forgiveness and invite Him to come and live in our heart. The songwriter has penned these words, "There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. It is at Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus." Some years back, in the company I work for, the British High Commissioner for the Queen visited our factory. The High Commissioner, who is an ambassador for the Queen, explained to us in person that he had been sent by royal command to present to each of the employees a gift. The company had obtained extraordinary sales that particular year. We were commemorating the achievements the company had accomplished that year. The High Commissioner, dressed in a very smart navy blue uniform, covered in a multitude of medals and finery, looked the part. After all, he had a powerful position and was greatly respected in all he said to us. When you become a Christian, when you have invited Jesus into your life to become Lord of your life, you become one of His ambassadors. So wherever you go and whatever you say, you are a representative as well as a member of God's family. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making His appeal through us." Whenever you meet folk and you are accompanied by a member of your family, like the one of your children, you will automatically, enthusiastically, and generous-heartedly introduce your family member and relative to whoever you meet. An ambassador of Jesus Christ, and as members of God's family, we should be ever ready to introduce Jesus to whoever we meet. Those we sense are open to an introduction. Jesus reminded His disciples in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. A fruit tree bears fruit that will fall to the ground. It will grow and bear more fruit. We should be ready to go and plant seeds of God's kingdom and harvest souls for Christ, who in turn will also go and seek even more people for God's kingdom. There is the occasion when a parent notices their young child wandering off, heading for danger. The moment the parent realizes the child is heading for danger, they will shout to stop the child running into the danger ahead. In the days we're living, there is a great urgency to warn mankind and shout out what dangers we are heading towards. For the last 6,000 years, mankind has been living on this planet where life has been in a moderate state of stability. Yet, in this last 150 years, every area of life on this planet is becoming unnervingly unstable, as well as showing strong signs of a pending Third World War. The world, nature, the weather, the political world are all being shaken. Moral standards are depleting at a mega rate. In this age of modern science, the health of people and wildlife, both physical and mental, are becoming increasingly fragile. We must understand this. We may never see the world again as we once knew it. Jesus gave out a very stern warning in Luke 21:10, 11. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famine and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Jesus continued to say in Luke 21:25 to 28. There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint for terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. These days Jesus described in these verses are now taking place. We need to make serious choices, and we need to be prepared. God reminded us through the prophet Haggai in Haggai 2:6, in a little while, I am once more to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. Indeed, God is now shaking our world. If we are not part of God's family, we have every cause to fear. If we are part of God's family, we have a great bright future. But we need to be prepared for what is soon to take place and do as Jesus said in Luke 21:28. When those things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Things will get worse before they get better. I am excited about what is soon going to happen. The Apostle Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 2:6 to 10. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We need to be supporting one another in prayer and join with the apostle who prayed in Ephesians 6:19-20. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. With a grateful heart, let us look back and thank Jesus for what he accomplished on the cross for us. Ask God to equip and prepare us for what trials we may face in this world. Then thank Jesus again for what he has prayed for each one of his children, when we soon will meet him face to face. In closing, let us listen to the words of the song, which is entitled, I'm Forever Grateful.
Would you let me hear you?